Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Thousands of Chabad emissaries gather in New York to reconnect, to celebrate to celebrate growth. 5,600 rabbis from the United States and 100 other countries attend an annual convention after the COVID-19 hiatus. Absolutely incredible. Israel's chief rabbi tells attendees he's pushing a new government to restrict conversion law. So it's very, very interesting. But we wanted to understand what this gathering is all about. When did it start? What's the growth been like? Rabbi Michael Katz, director of Chabad House and a rabbi at Chabad of Ilova. Good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
Good morning to you and a good morning to all the listeners, and thank you for having me.
So give us a bit of a background. When did all of this start?
In the late 1980s, at the behest of the rabbi, these conventions started. I happened to have been privileged to have been at the very first one. I think it was 1987.
Right.
And there were literally a handful, 30, 40 people who participated in that particular one.
Incredible.
And the idea being to bring, as you said, to bring people together, to compare notes, to rejuvenate, to share, and to show care, to be involved with each other, and to spend some time recharging one's batteries. The guys from Chabad, if you read the report there, it actually says 5,600, but in the report it says 6,500. So I'm not sure if in Israel they get the numbers always right. but it was a huge, huge gathering, and it shows such tremendous hope and it's such a good news story for the Jewish world and for the world at large.
So what is it? Because, I mean, is it a conference where you'll have smaller groups, where you'll have discussion points? Because I would imagine that living in the United States is one thing, but it refers to 100 countries around the world. It is not an easy life to have chosen for Chabad emissaries. It's a life that is all about commitment, devotion, and belief in a greater purpose. But there's some real challenges, no doubt, that many of the families, the Chabad families, because it is a family thing, face when they're working outside of the United States or Israel. So I would imagine that's part of the focus.
Correct. But on that point, and one of the things that was highlighted, of course, was the activities and the work and the pressure on the emissaries in the Ukraine. I mean, what they've had to go through over the last year and the difficulties that they've confronted and how they've had to be there for the community and the incredible, incredible job that they have done. And that's just one example of the kind of pressures. And the last thing on the mind of a Chabad emissary anyway is to turn your back on your community, is to run away. As the rabbi once told my own father, you may be saving yourself, but you endanger those that you leave behind. You've got to be very, very conscious of that always. But, yes, emissaries around the world who don't have kosher food, who don't have access to schooling, to mikvahs, to whatever are needed, we live in a very, very privileged environment here. We've got all of these things available in our beautiful Joburg community, for instance, and we take it for granted. There are a lot of those guys who are there who have nothing like it, and it's a big battle. So what they do is they get together, and actually the conference starts on Wednesday. The last Wednesday it would have started. What you saw there at this banquet is the culmination, is the last event. So it starts on Wednesday. Yes, there are all sorts of workshops, training and teaching, training in fundraising, whatever the shluchim around the world may need, and broken up into different groups all over the place. And then, of course, one of the main highlights of it is spending the Shabbos together and spending time and doing what Chabad likes to do, which is to chabreng. Chabreng means to sit around, compare notes, play l'chaim together, and really offload on each other and share and have the ability to that great and incredible brotherhood.
Right. So when people go back to the various parts of the world, is there that connection and the support that people have created at these types of events? In other words, somebody who might be experiencing the similar types of challenges to what you might be.
Absolutely. Just perhaps encapsulated in a particularly moving part of the event on Sunday night was that 36 Torahs were completed at the event.
Wow.
36 Torahs,
wow.
If you ceremony that's inscribed completing the Torah. They then had the Siyum, the completion of the Torah scrolls, of these 36 Torahs, which then, by a goral, by a lottery, were dispensed all over the world. So the particular guy who managed to kind of win the Torah for his particular place in Chabaras was able to take it with him and take it back. But the symbol of the idea of this kind of powerhouse in the center and the dissemination of it all around the world, and the incredible support and care and influence. And of course, we all went to yeshiva, and you make friends, come back, and you meet them again, and so on. I haven't been privileged to go to this particular kinnis for the last few years, but when I was there, I said also, it gives everybody a boost. And yes, of course, from the headquarters, let's call it, in New York, there is a lot of, and there are a lot of new initiatives and programs that they keep on churning out in order to help and support the Chabad houses around the world.
Well, I think that's also important is to retain the culture, the integrity. It's almost going back once a year to drink from the well, rather than just being out in the world indefinitely. I think it's so important to recenter, to think about values, to come up with, see what other people are doing, to be inspired to maybe carry on when things are difficult. So I think it's a phenomenal initiative, and it's just an incredible thing simply by the numbers, and that is what's so amazing as well, is to see these numbers, thousands upon thousands of people, and each person there represents a family and a community. So if you think about it that way, it's actually incredible.
Incredible. Just to put give a little bit of a spin, a bit of a perspective on it, in the great big wide New York, you may be surprised, people reading about it, they ask, why did this take place in New Jersey? Quite simple. There's no hall big enough in New York to accommodate such a crowd.
Well, I mean, if that doesn't tell you everything, that is absolutely amazing. Rabbi Michael Katz, director of Chabad House, Rabbi at Chabad in Ilovo. Incredible and just inspiring just to even think about it. Even without being there, these types of things inspire people around the world. It is 8:22. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.